Now, it's easy to reconcile these two statements. Paul said, I'm content. And then he said, I'm not content. He said, I'm satisfied where I am. Then he said, I'm keeping moving all the time. Now, what in the world could Paul have meant? And how can these statements be reconciled? When in one breath he said, I've learned to be content. I'm content where I am with what I have. And yet in the same book, a few verses before, he said, I press. I pressure toward the mark. Now, it's easy. Paul was content with his surroundings. Are you listening? He was content with his surroundings, but he was not content with his attainments. Paul said, by the way, he was in the Mamertine prison, and he said, I'm content with this. I have no bed on which to sleep, but I'm content. I have no one here with me to share with me, but I'm content. I have no electricity, but I'm content. I have no stove or table or cabinet. I have no carpet or air conditioning or heating unit, but I'm content. Now, I'll tell you something, folks. You are not going to ever be happy until you acquire contentment with what you have and where you are. If you can't be content in that little attic apartment, you won't be content in that lovely home. No way. No way. You see, contentment is not caused by attainment. Contentment is caused by a relationship that you have with Jesus Christ that causes you to be satisfied with whatever car you drive, whatever house you live in, whatever you have on the floor, whatever furniture you have in the house, whatever clothes you have on your body. Paul said, I'm content and with all I have. Now, he's saying here, I'm content with the Mamertine prison, but I'm not satisfied because I want to get out and get the gospel out to others. He said, I'm content with my lodgings, but I'm not content with my accomplishments. He said, I'm content with my food and raiment, but I'm not content with what has yet to be done. He said, I'm content with my position, but I'm not content yet with what I've done with my position. You tell me what you want, and I'll tell you what you are. You tell me your wants. What is it you want today? Now, I'm not a good Christian. I make no pretense at it. But I want to tell you something. There's nothing in this world, nothing, not one thing in this world this morning that I want. They don't make the car I want. They don't make the house I want. Hey, yeah, you got a car now. Yes, the church provided us. We moved here with a lovely home. But, I mean, that's not important to me. We have Russell Anderson put a swimming pool in the backyard of our house. Been there now for, I guess, 10 years. I've never been in it. Never been in it. Never have. I'm not against folks using a swimming pool. But, I mean, there's nothing I want. They don't make the suit of clothes I want. I haven't bought myself a suit of clothes since 1959. Folks buy suits for me, and folks get tired of the way I look, and they decorate me all they can. Doesn't do any good. But they don't make, shut up, they don't make the suit of clothes that I want. They don't make the house I want. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the... They don't make any kind of money that I want. I mean, that's something made. Fort Knox has no gold bars that I want. And you say, what are you saying? I'm saying that you're not going to be happy in life until you learn to be content. You see, it is not your lack of acquisition that makes you unhappy or discontented. It is the discontented soul that makes you discontented. You know... You tell me what you want, and I'll tell you what you are. And yet, on the other hand, unsatisfied desires are the driving force of all human life. Let me say it again. Unsatisfied desires are the driving force of all human life. You're looking today at the most contented man you probably have ever seen. At the same time, you're looking at the most discontented man you probably ever seen. I guess you're looking this morning at the most satisfied man you could find. But you're also looking at the most dissatisfied man that you can find. Let me illustrate. If God this morning gave me a choice, now hear me carefully, listen here. If God gave me a choice between immediate possession of all the truth there is, I said if God gave me a choice between immediate possession of all the truth that there is, and on the other hand, a choice of a lifetime in searching for truth, I'd take the lifetime in searching for truth. You see, I don't want all there is yet. I mean, I want something else. I quote this song more than any of the 10 songs I quote. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. And that's what joy is. Joy is having some mountains unscaled. Joy is having some possessions unachieved. Joy is having some battles not yet won. It's wanting, but not wanting things. If God gave me a choice today of knowing all there is to know about this book. Now listen. If God said, son, I'll let you know all there is to know about this book today. If God gave me that choice so that I would know for the rest of my ministry everything there is to know and everything that God knows about this book, I wouldn't take it. Because every day I get to learn a little more of it. And every day, that's like eating all the food you're going to eat the rest of your life all at one time. That doesn't sound bad. But I'm saying, though, that if God said, son, I'll teach you everything this afternoon, May 2nd, 1982, I'll teach you everything you'll ever need to know and all the truth in this book, I'd say, no, sir. No, sir. I'm having too much fun learning this book a piece at a time. You see, I want to learn something today and tomorrow and almost every day of my life. I grasp some great truth I've never grasped before. I see some great gem in this Bible from the coffers of this book I've not seen before. I pluck some orchid from the garden of God's truth I've never plucked before. And I want to live a life of gradually reaching out and earning more of the truth of God. If today God said, son, I'll let you have everything you ever want right now. All the wants you have, you can have them right now. Or I'll let you pray them down the rest of your life. I'd say, keep them and let me pray them down. How many of you poor people don't get to pray for anything? I feel sorry for you. I do. You know what? I was thinking this week about this. This is worth hearing. Did you know that money only solves one problem in society, and that's poverty? I mean, there are thousands of problems in society, and money solves one of them. That's all. It solves poverty. But I wouldn't take it. Why? I've enjoyed these years coming to God on my knees and saying, God, I've got to have it. You've got to let me have it. I've enjoyed that, and I wouldn't miss it for the world. Most of our lives are spent like a plane trip. A mad rush to get to our destination while missing the joys of the journey. I mean, I've been all over America and seen none of it. I have been to Los Angeles, California. I guess I go 5 or 6 times a year at least, and have for 25 years. I've never seen Disneyland. I've never seen Knott's Berry Farm. I've never seen the Coliseum. I've never seen anything. Except the airport and the church and a motel room. But you say, preacher, what do you say? I'm saying, I'm saving all that. Well, you say, when are you going to see it? I don't have to ever see it, but I have to save some of it. I'm not going to use all my life at one time. Hey, that's what's wrong with this old heathen world. Well, the average spoiled, rotten brat and the average middle-class home in America, he has everything he wants by the time he's 17 years old. That's why he goes on dope. That's why he goes out to the disco. That's why he's on dirty rock music. Why? Because he's had it all, seen it all, gotten it all, and thinks he knows it all. You see, we rush madlong toward our destination. and this is the journey. Then, hear me now. Then, when we get there, we want to go back and get the joys of the trip because we're not enjoying the destination. Let me say it again now. Hear me. We want the destination. I want to get married now. I want to get out of school now. I want to get a job now. I want total security now. I want these dumb athletes say, well, while I'm in athletics, I want to be sure I get security for my family. There is nothing in this world that will destroy you as much as getting security, financial security. Nothing. Nothing. Folks that have it are shooting themselves in the stupid heads every day. Not the same one every day, but they're one at a time. They're doing it. Why? Because if you even think you have financial security, you don't need God. You think. So, let me say it again. We rush mad wrong to our destination while missing the joy of the journey. Then we arrive at our destination, realize we missed the joy of the journey, and go back and try to recapture the joy of the journey until we don't enjoy the destination. We marvel at the art gallery while the real thing is just outside the door. We love to go to an art gallery and see a sunset painted, when right outside, God's sunset is there. We marvel at the musical recording and never hear the singing of the birds in the backyard. We rush forward to get... Hear this now. We reach forward to get what we're too young for. That's the first half of our lives. And the last half, we reach backward to get what we're too old for. Isn't that dumb? Are you, hey, sit down, son. Hey, fella, sit down. Now, don't you walk around like that. This is church. That goes for you deacons, too. Now, listen to me. Look, we're exactly like the Israelites were, who said in the morning, they said, would God it were evening. And the evening, they say, would God it were morning. Now, you hear me. I do not believe in the good old days. I don't believe in them. Just recently, one of our fine ladies wrote me a note and said, I wish I'd get back to the good old days. And yet, when the good old days were here, we said, I wish we could reach forward to the new days. I don't believe in the good old days. I believe in the good today, right now. Now, I'm not like I was 20 years ago. And you're not like you were 20 years ago. You're mentally you are, but. And this church is not like it was 20 years ago. And if it were like it was 20 years ago, it would be retarded. Oh, I enjoyed the days when everybody knew everybody. Well, so did I. And now I'm enjoying the days when we're too big, bless God, for everybody to know everybody. I mean, we have folks up here in this corner and folks in this corner that are sitting in different counties this morning. And yet the truth is, that's what we used to pray for in the good old days. Oh, God, send us a Pentecost. Watch it, that's 3,000 new members. Now we have it. Oh, God! Take away the Pentecost. Now you go ahead and go through your life that way if you want to. Bless your little heart. I'm not going to do it. No, sir. No, sir. I am contented. There's not one single thing I don't have that I want. There's not one single place I have that I want to go. There's not one single place I'd rather preach than somewhere else as long as I'm preaching. But I'm discontented. I've got some things I want to do. I've got some souls I want to win. I've got some buildings I want to build. I've got some achievements I want to achieve. I've got some battles I want to fight. I've got some stairs I want to climb. I've got some accomplishments. I've got some dreams. I've got some hopes. Not a single one of them is wrapped around where I live. Not a one is wrapped around what I wear. Not a one is wrapped around what I drive. But they're wrapped around what can I do for Christ? Forward, upward, pressing, 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 stretching, pressing, pressing.
I got a letter this week. The fellow wrote me a letter and he said, "Dear Dr. Hines, I get your tapes every week." He said, "You're my favorite preacher. This man, I guess, was one of the greatest judges of preaching that I know in America today. But he said, you're my favorite preacher." But he said, "I'm worried about something. This week, open the letter Friday. I'm worried about something." He said, "I'm worried." He said, "I get the idea from your tapes that you're about to retire." He said, "Now, Dr. Hines, don't forget, 55 is not old." "Well, you don't have to tell me 55 isn't old. I know it's not old. I feel young." "Oh. And I feel young." "What do you mean?" He said, "I get the idea from your tapes that you're about to retire." "Let me tell you something, buddy. As long as I can whisper a sermon, as long as I can crawl out that door, and as long as I can stand up here long enough to make a speech, you stuck. Because I've got some journeys I want to make yet. I've got some battles I want to fight yet. I've got some victories I want to win yet. I'm contented with what I have. I'm contented with who I am. But I'm not contented until I've fought the last battle that God wants me to fight, won the last victory God wants me to win, traveled the last mile God wants me to travel, checked in the last motel room God wants me to check into, preach the last sermon God wants me to preach, and take the last offering that God wants me to take." We reach forward to that, what we are too young for, and then we reach backward to that, for which we are too old for, and we realize His greatness after He's dead. We travel around the world to see the Alps, and yet most of us haven't seen the Alleghenies yet. We take so many pictures at the wedding that we don't even know the wedding is going on. We pay extra for carpet on the car floor, then cover it with a rubber mat so the next owner can enjoy the carpet. I don't understand it. Won't you buy a car that's got rubber floor? We pay big money for lovely crystal for our houses, then only use that crystal for strangers while we drink from peanut butter jar. I don't understand that. Boy, if I got carpet on my car, I want to know it today. Tomorrow. 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 Yesterday. Not me, buddy. No, sir. Not me. No. Tomorrow. Let me have you tomorrow. Let me have you tomorrow. Tomorrow comes. I wish I had you yesterday. Wish I had you yesterday. No, not me, buddy. Me is this. Today. Today. Jesus didn't say, when Moses came to God, and God said, "Go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go." And Moses said, "Whom shall I say sent me?" And God said, "Tell him that I was sent you." No, sir. He didn't say, "Tell him that I will be sent you." No, sir. He said, "Tell him the I am sent you." We have enough wasers and gonna beers. We need some hammer. Hammer. Now. Today. Now. Oh, let me tell you something. This is the day. I know. Oh, the good old days. Look good. You didn't think they were good then. Your type never do think it's good now. Never do. We buy a ball and bat for the baby boy and take it to the hospital and put it in his hands. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Then, when he's old enough to throw it and swing it, we're too busy to play catch with him. Why? We're always interested in tomorrow. Until tomorrow comes. And then we revel in yesterday. He was a good man. Oh, he was a good husband. But he died and didn't know it. There was a good woman. That's her laying there in her casket. She died and didn't know you, I thought that.
Oh, my daddy, he was a good man.
Why didn't you tell him?
It was a good moment as my mother. Oh, if it's a moment in heaven, if anybody died in heaven, it's my mother.
Yeah, but you gave her hell while she's on earth, didn't you? I don't mean that in the cursing sense. I mean you caused her to live in a hell while she was here. Paul said, I've learned to be content with my environment, my possession. But he said, I'm not content with my achievements and my accomplishments. I get up every day and I say, Lord, a new journey is beginning. What have you got planned for me today? Yeah. I never have been a real fan of Joe Namath. I've said before, for me, a good year would be for Joe Namath to never not win a game, Muhammad Ali get knocked out in the first round, and Notre Dame go scoreless. That's just the way I feel. But Joe Namath said something one time, it's great. He said, I can't wait till tomorrow because I'm getting better looking every day. And I can relate to that. It hurts me when you doubt me like that. But you know, the last sentence is not right for Joe Namath, but is for some of us, but not him. But the idea is great. I can't wait till tomorrow because tomorrow will be another today. This morning I got up and I thought, now, Lord, what have you got planned today? I drove the car down to the White Hen Pantry. Always do. Every morning, stop at the White Hen Pantry. What do? Get me a Chicago Sun-Times, Chicago Tribune, and a beefsteak. Every morning, beefsteak. You say, the beefsteak's health food? After I bless them, they are. And Now, this morning, drove up White Hen Pantry. Now, this is interesting. But not earth-shaking, but this is what most of you miss. And just outside White Hen Pantry stood Stan Wojcik, who's a fine, diligent, hard-working custodian who cleans this building. He's standing out there. I thought, now, what in the world is Stan Wojcik doing in front of White Hen Pantry? Now, Stan hardly ever says anything. When he got married, he didn't say, I do. He just nodded his head. And so Stan, I said, hi, Stan. He said, can I have a ride to church? And I said, what for? He said, my car quit running. I said, can I push you somewhere? Help get it fixed? No, sir. He said, just let me ride to church. And the first thought I had, now that's interesting. I haven't gotten to be a Stan for a long time. He and I haven't spent 15 minutes together in several years. And I thought, now, that's wonderful. And so I got to drive to church this morning with Stan Wojcik. And I'd rather do that than go with Ronald Reagan. I mean that. And that delighted my day. You see, God has so many things for us that we go through life looking forward to that exciting tomorrow and remembering that exciting yesterday, which we did not recognize as exciting yesterday, and the tomorrow, which we'll not recognize as exciting tomorrow, and we're forgetting that this today is the tomorrow that we look forward to yesterday. Yet all the time, inside of me, something is churning. If you could see my inside this morning, you'd see. Something's churning. You know why? Because I'm not satisfied with what I've done yet. I'm satisfied with where I live. I'm satisfied with who I am. And I mean it. If I had one suit of clothes in the cleaners and one on, that'd be all I'd need. I guess I've got 40 pair of shoes. I guess I do. Folks have given me shoes. I guess, and I got all colors. I wear the same brown pair and same. Now, sometimes I change, but
I'm the kind of guy, just my feet just get shaped to a pair of shoes. And I could wear the same pair of shoes the rest of my life, just have them half-soled on and on and on again. By the way, you know how Stan Wojcik knew I would be at the White Hen Pantry? His wife called the church and told Steve Sloan. Said, Steve, said, Stan is stuck out here. His car, he's going to be late this morning. His car is quit running. And Steve said, where is he? And she told him. And Steve said, have him go to White Hen Pantry. She said, why? Steve said, because in 3 minutes, Brother Hiles arrives there. Yeah, in 3 minutes. Stan goes to White Hen Pantry. 3 minutes, I pull up. See? Why? Because old preacher lives on schedule. Yeah. Sometimes I get it 30 seconds late, and old Steve, they meet me out the car, shaking their head, backslidden. You see, as I've said so often, life is divided into eras. Childhood, adolescence, young adulthood, or college age, young married life, middle age, and then where I am. And success or happiness in life depends on whether you in each era wish you were in another era, or whether in each era you say, thank God I'm in this era, and I am going to do everything I can and accomplish everything I can while I'm in this era. Here is the old soldier in jail. In the Mamertine prison. He's up in years. He's ready to go home. He knows his days can't be long. The seepage, the dampness, the coldness. No bed, no comfort, no luxury, no heat, no companionship. In the basement, no light, no window in his room. Picks up his pen and writes young Timothy and says, or writes the Philippian people and says, I don't want anything. I'm contented. I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Learn that lesson. Learn it, young married lady. You learn it, young man. Learn it, sailor boy. Learn it, Air Force man. Learn it, housewife. Learn it. And then in the next breath, the old soldier says, I got pressure. What for, Paul? Because you're cold? No. Want a central heating unit put in the house? No. Not satisfied with the Chevrolet you drive? No. Fine. You mean you want a new wardrobe? No. He said, I've got something more I want to do for God. I've got something more I want to do for God. My message on May 2nd, 1982 to the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana is twofold. One, be content with what you have. Never be content with what you are and what you've done. Father, bless them.